Hey, what's going on, everyone? My name is J.R. Robinson. And once again, I'd like to welcome you to When He Speaks Erotica from a Man's Perspective. And as always, I'd like to say thank you to everyone who supports this channel and who listens to this podcast. I greatly appreciate each and every one of you. Tonight's topic is Faces of Pleasure. What your orgasm face reveals about you. So please do me a favor, sit back and relax, and I'll be right back with the question tonight. Okay, so the question of the night is, who pays for what when you're dating? The unexpected answer that might surprise you. And when the question is, who pays for dinner whenever you go out? Say if you go to take a trip, who come out their pocket the most? Being someone who borders the fence when it comes to tradition and non-tradition, because I think I have my ways. Certain times I think from a traditional standpoint, and a lot of times I hate tradition. But being that I was raised a certain way to be a man, the first couple of dates that I used to go on when I was dating someone or dating other people, I would pay for like the first couple of dates just to gauge and see if someone who I was dating would say, you know what, since you pay for tonight, then I'll pay tonight. Since you paid last night or last week, I'll pay for tonight. Very seldom. Let me say this again. Very seldom have I heard that from women. I don't know if it's selfish. I don't know if it's they just don't think about it. But a lot of women don't come out their pocket. And the ones who do, if there's any guy that's listening to this question tonight, if you got a woman who will come out the pocket sometimes or who will help balance the relationship or the dating that you are doing, hold on to that one. Because that speaks volumes of her character. And a lot of people might be like, how do that speak volume of her character because she pays? Because it shows that she's not selfish and that she's not thinking or not, you know, just trying to get something to eat or stay in a man's pockets. Many, many women have gotten up from the table and not said thank you, have not offered to pay the tip, or if you open the door for them when you get ready to get in the car, and then you walk around to get on your side, they won't even reach over to open the door for you. And a lot of people say that's not a major thing. For me, it's major. It shows me exactly who I'm dealing with. Someone who's self-centered. Someone who I'm not going to fuck with. Even though I have times of being self-centered too. But when it comes to me and you dating and we're getting to know each other, then I don't want no one who has that mindset. I can't fuck with nobody like that. You know, because to me, you're going to be like that all the time. That's the way I'm going to see you. I think this question, it depends on the couple. It depends on the people who are dating. I think it's something that you need to bring up those first couple of days that you're talking or those first couple of hours that you're having a conversation after you meet. I think it needs to be established that, hey, we're going to date. So it's not like as a man, you're not going to say it. It's not like I'm expecting you to pay for meals or drinks or anything like that. But it would be nice. Now, some men just got it like that. Some men are ballers. Some men are, just rich and pockets are fat. And for the ones of us who don't have fat pockets, who believe in equality, just like a woman believe in wanting to be equal, be equal on this check. You know what I mean? And it's not all the time. I'm not saying all the time. I mean, just sometimes. Because there's some things that you got to consider when it comes to this question. You know? One of the questions is, I think that it can be tricky. It can be very tricky. Because you need to set some type of momentum. You know what I'm saying? Because there might be times I can't pay every time we go out. So if I can't pay, we're just going to sit there and act like, you know, we just didn't eat this food or we just didn't have drinks. That bill got to be paid. And if I'm lacking, then it would be nice to know that, hey, you know, don't worry about it, I got you. Without having an attitude or thinking I ain't shit because I ain't paid for the meal, or I can't pay because I got bills I gotta pay for. I gotta pay my car note, I gotta pay my mortgage, I gotta pay my insurance, and if I got child support, hey, me and them, I'm coming out my pocket. So just because you're wanting some shrimps and some drinks, guess what? I ain't got it. But we can still go out, because if we go out and if I ain't got it, guess who got to pay? You. Honestly, there's no right or wrong way when it comes to this question. It's all about who you fucking with, who you dealing with, knowing who you dealing with, being okay. Because, I mean, you don't have to accept that. You could be like, look, I don't pay for meals. That's your prerogative. You could tell the man, hey, that's not what I do. I'm used to, I'm accustomed to a man doing everything. And that's when the man, you know, supposed to say, okay, I understand. But you know what? I ain't that man. You got the wrong person, sister, because what I'm used to, what I'm accustomed to, what I need is someone who can not be selfish, who cannot think that it's all about them, who's willing to be a partner in this journey we about to embark on. Now, if you don't want to do that, okay, we done got it out the open. We don't need to go no further. I know who you are, and you know that I'm a broke motherfucker. Because that's how they're going to look at you. Girl, he ain't shit. He ain't want to pay for a $50 meal. He ain't want to pay for a $100 meal. What kind of man? What kind of man with all this don't want to pay for my meal, my dessert, my drink? What kind of man? Yo, get your... If you, man, ooh. I want to say something else, but, you know, I'm trying to keep this, you know, at a certain... I don't want to get too far into it, because sometimes I can get too far into it and then I'm losing what it is that I'm trying to get across. So I'm going to definitely monitor that and not let my personal feelings overtake what I'm trying to deliver as far as this content. Like I said, there's no right or wrong way when it comes to this. It's all about preference. It's all about knowing who you're dealing with, and knowing that the person is going to be okay with the fact that sometimes you may not have it. Mm-hmm. You may come up lacking. And if you do, that they're able to help support or help contribute some funds to the activity that you're partaking in, you know? And like I said, it's not all the time. It's not like I'm asking you to spend your last or, you know, everything that you got so that we can have a good time. You know? But some women, they just take that shit and then run with it, and they just make it seem like a man can't be of high value because he don't pay for every meal. He don't pay for every time you go out. He don't always buy you drinks when you go out. What's up with this lemon and water shit? I need a drink. Okay, you buy your drink. I've had conversations where I say, okay, well, I'm not drinking, and you know, I'm just gonna drink some lemon and water, you know. Well, let me tell you something. I'm drinking. I want this. And they will order the most expensive drink. And I think I want to say it was D.L. Hughley. He said when a woman looks at the menu, and she says she want lobster and shrimp or something like that, you do know that. Oh my God, I can't deliver the joke. But what he was saying was, okay, if you want this and that, understand when I take you home, when we leave, I'm going to want this and that. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to want what I want. I'm going to want my dessert. But, you know, maybe that's just the old-fashioned way of me when it comes to that mindset. That if I buy you an expensive meal, I expect some dessert later. And dessert is pussy, or, you know, some time together. You know what I'm saying? Some intimate times. You know. But like I said, this is all about my perspective and how I see things. So when I do these topics, I'm not doing it as if I'm talking. As if I'm including everybody. I'm talking about me and my personal experiences, or stories that I've heard from other people. So someone may hear this and may definitely disagree with what I'm saying, but what I'm saying has happened, not only to me but to other people as well. So to wrap this up, I think that you got to know that some people are old-fashioned in their way of thinking. And a lot of times a man will initiate he will initiate paying for the meal, paying for, you know, providing the tip and, you know, some extra. If you want some ice cream after dinner, you know, he's going to pay for that too. Pay for the parking, you know, everything that comes with having a great time on your date. And ladies, I think you should look at it as a gesture of goodwill and respect. You should find something in you to feel comfortable enough to say every once in a while, hey, I don't mind splitting the bill with you. You know? Even if you don't get together, even if you're not trying to fuck, just, you know, split the bill so that way you won't feel like you owe somebody something. And on that note, I'll be right back with the topic of the night. All right, so tonight's topic is faces of pleasure. What your orgasm face reveals about you. Now, when I say orgasm, well, first, before I get into it, let me say I want to apologize for not doing the podcast on Saturday night, last Saturday. It was crazy, hectic on my part. Had some stuff going on, had a project I had to do and work. And it just didn't happen for me. So, and plus something that I wanted to talk about, I'm glad I did hold off, because something happened on Sunday that makes me want to add to, you know, that conversation. So I'm going to see if I can try to put it together by Friday and do it this upcoming Saturday night. So, but once again, I want to say thank you for listening to the podcast. I mean, because it's funny how when I don't do a podcast, a lot of people listen. You know what I'm saying? So that's very encouraging. So I want to say thank you. But my topic for the night is faces of pleasure. What your orgasm face reveals about you. And this is weird, but I'm kind of weird in a sense. Because in my heyday, I loved being with a woman who, when we were together, and okay, I'm on top, and she's looking up at me, and she looked as if she can't breathe. She's as if she's holding her breath, and her eyes, they're not bucked, but they're open wide. To me, I took it as an expression of she's really enjoying me. The sex is so great that she can't fucking talk. Now, when I was young, that did a lot for my ego. You know what I'm saying? But then as I started to age, I'm like, okay, that lets you know that you're one of the top five lovers in the world. Yeah, you heard me say that. I used to think I was one of the top five lovers in this world. And the only reason I don't think that now, because I'm a man of a certain age and I've aged. I have aged in the last couple of decades. And I know I still got it, but it's not like it is when I was in my 20s. So I understand that, and I'm cool with that. I'm at a point in my life where I'm good with my sex life, you know. So who knows, maybe one day I may talk about my current sex life, but as of right now, I'm okay, you know. But the faces that people would make when they have orgasms, it got to a point so bad. If a woman didn't make that face like she was, like she couldn't breathe, I really didn't, you know. I mean, I would see her, but she wasn't really in the rotation. And trust me, that is very fucking selfish, very there's a lot of words that you can say with that. You know what I'm saying? But maybe I was just stuck on myself. Maybe I you know, to see someone in that way is, like I said, it boosts your ego. And maybe my ego was just too big at that point to realize that everybody don't have that type of reaction to me, you know, being with them. Your orgasm phase can say a lot about your personality. Do you have a big open mouth grin, a small smirk, or a look of pure ecstasy? Your about to come face is the telltale sign of what turns you on and how you like to experience pleasure. So what does your orgasm phase say about you? Me personally? I used to pride myself on not revealing my, oh my God, I'm about to come face. Because I've seen my orgasm phase, and it's not good. It's not, I mean, you know, all coolness goes out the window when I'm at that point. Because, I mean, there have been times I've looked in the mirror while I was, you know, with someone. And, you know, once again, boosting my ego. But when it was that time for me to, you know, release, then I went from cool to, like, grumpy old men. And I don't mean grumpy in the bad way. It's just I look like a grumpy old man. So I didn't like that look. So it stopped me from looking in the mirror, too. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh, shit. You know? So I had to work on, you know, not being so grumpy looking to a woman. You know what I'm saying? Because I didn't want her to kick me off her team, especially if I liked her and if it was good. You know what I'm saying? So I had to work on my facial expressions. I mean, I've experienced women who knew how to bring the best out of me and definitely the worst. And when I say worst, I don't mean the bad way neither. Studies have been conducted, and there's been, they came up with four main types of orgasm phase. And the four types are the explorer, the exhibitionist, the reserved, and the compressed. So what does each type say about you? Okay, if you're an explorer, it means you're likely to be curious and open-minded. You're also probably pretty adventurous in the bedroom. Whereas if you're an exhibitionist, it means that you're probably pretty confident and outgoing. also probably pretty comfortable with your sexuality. Now, if you're reserved, this means you're probably more introverted. You may also be a little bit more sensitive to the touch. And last, the compressed. It means you're likely to be pretty analytical. You're also probably pretty good at controlling your emotions. And I think I fall in the last two, reserved and compressed. I've never been explorer. I think with the explorer shit, I think that was early on in my life. Exhibitionist, I don't think so. I really don't see myself as the exhibitionist type. Now, I'm going to give you the four different types of orgasm phase. Number one, I'm pleased as punch phase. This phase is the most common type of orgasm phase. It is characterized by a big smile and a look of pure joy. Number two, the I'm so close phase. This phase is characterized by the look of intense concentration and a tight jaw. Number three, I can't believe this is happening phase. This phase is characterized by the look of disbelief, often accompanied by an open mouth. I have had that phase several times. Like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. And you know what's funny? The person that you think that's going to knock you out the box, don't do it. It was the women who I underestimated. And put me in a coma for like a day and a half. It took me a day and a half to get back on point. So, it's not always the beautiful woman or the sexy woman or the well-defined woman. It might be that hood rat. It might be someone who you least expect, who you probably normally wouldn't deal with, but you hooked up with them like 2 o'clock in the morning after the club done closed, and you looking around seeing who's next. Cause that's the thing we had. We used to always say after we was with somebody, you know, one night, and we meet up in the club again. It's like, all right. Around 1:45, 1:50, them lights start to come on 2 o'clock, and then you like, all right, who's next? You just start scanning for motherfuckers who you're going to try to get with. And a lot of times, it was slim pickings. Yeah, like, either I go home and go to sleep and eat that bologna sandwich, or I go to her house. It was plenty of time. Well, no, I ain't going to say plenty of times. I'm going to say 50-50. It was times I went home and ate that turkey sandwich or that bologna sandwich and watched San Francisco or ESPN. And it was time like, you know what? It's been a while, bro. You need to go ahead and get that off of you. And I know she might be, her wig might be cocked to the side. But you got to do what you got to do, bro. You got to take one for the team. So, a lot of times, you get caught up with certain people who you least expect that's gonna fulfill that need that you have. Then you have the last one, number four, I'm in ecstasy phase. This phase is characterized by the look of pure ecstasy, often accompanied by closed eyes and a dreamy expression. That's that love shit. That's what that is. That last one is all about love. The first three is just fucking getting a nut, trying to score, whatever you want to call it. But that's those first three are not love. That last one, ecstasy, oh my God. Oh my God. When that type of feeling hits you, when you feel like you're in ecstasy and everything around you doesn't exist, even the people that you're close to, the people that you love, it's as if Thanos has snapped his finger and half the population is gone. That's how that feels, that ecstasy. Now, I can't say for everybody, but for me, it was like no other feeling in the world. But the crazy thing, I didn't have it that many times. I had it, but it wasn't a lot of times. Because I've only been in love. Shit, let me hold up on that. How many times I've been in love, shit, you know. But I haven't been in love that many times. It's been a few times I've been in love. And I equate that with great sex, great relationship, understanding, connection, loyalty. Everything is encompassed with, for me, with the word love. Everything. I got to be able to trust her. I got to know that if somebody step to me, she going to throw them hands. If need be, if we playing spades and I renege, she got my back. That's the type of woman. That's the type of woman I need when I'm in love. A ride or die, Bonnie and Clyde, someone, when I say bitch, don't get mad. Understand, I'm saying bitch, but not in the bad way. It's very seldom I've called a woman a bitch. And if I had, they understood. They understood because they know who I am as a person. And they know I'm not going to call them a bitch just to be calling them that. And if we were talking or having some drinks and we laughing and we're that close and connected and that word bitch come out, it's like calling me something that you might think that's derogatory. And I'm good with it. But anyway, that's for another podcast. How to tell if you're having a good orgasm. If you're having a good orgasm, you feel a sense of pleasure and release. You may also feel your muscles contracting and your heart rate increasing. Hell yeah. There have been plenty of times I felt like I was about to have a heart attack. There's been plenty of times it's been so good. I thought I was like, oh my God. Am I about to go see Elizabeth? If you're not sure if you're having a good orgasm, there's a few things you can look for. First, your body should feel relaxed and your breathing should be deep and regular. You may also feel a sense of warmth, tingling, or pulsing in your body. Finally, you should feel satisfied after having the orgasm. The science behind an orgasm phase. Researchers believe that the expressions from having an orgasm phase are involuntary and are the results of the release of dopamine during an orgasm. This theory is supported by the fact that people with certain facial paralysis conditions still make orgasm face. I never gave that any thought. People with paralysis can make an orgasm face. Wow. Okay. How to use your orgasm face to your advantage. Your orgasm face is one that you can make when you reach the point of no return during sex. And it's not pretty. It's not a pretty face. For some people, I've seen some people who look angelic. I've seen some people who look just so fucking calm. But still, you know that they had a great orgasm. I mean, some people are just so beautiful where it's like, God damn, this motherfucker is beautiful even when she having an orgasm. But your orgasm phase is the most is your most powerful sexual tool. It's the one thing that can instantly turn on your partner and take them over the edge. Because if your partner sees that you're enjoying the love, the sex, the intimacy, if they see it on your face, then guess what? They're going to feel satisfied. They're going to be like, you know what? This is it. I'm making this person happy. I'm doing what it is that this person needs me to do. the worst orgasm face. And this goes back to when I said when I saw myself in the mirror and I looked like grumpy old man. That's my worst. I haven't had one like that that's been considered as worst. And it's not like I've seen all my faces, but when I saw that face, I tried to make sure that, you know, I eliminate that face. You know what I'm saying? I didn't want that to be what people saw, what women saw when I was being intimate with them, you know. We've all had the bad orgasm, you know, the kind where your face crumples up and you just hope to God that no one's around to see it. But sometimes the bad orgasm happens when you're not alone. Now, when you're by yourself and you have a bad orgasm or ugly orgasm, nobody gonna see it. You don't give a fuck. And you shouldn't really care when you're with somebody because it happens. You're not gonna be perfect in the situation. But if you go crazy in the head like I am, you know, I just felt like at certain times I had to be a certain way at all times, you know? And it was just something personal. I was in my head a lot, you know? Some people take sex very seriously. They want to be in the moment, enjoying every second of the experience. Then there are those who just let loose and go with the flow, enjoying the ride no matter what their facial expression look like. And then there are those who are absolute worst And then there are those who make the absolute worst face during orgasms. I think anybody who considers their orgasm as a grumpy old man face, yeah, it don't get no worse than that. It can't. So to wrap this up, your orgasm phase can reveal a lot about you. It can show how you feel about yourself, how you feel about sex, and how you feel about your partner and your lover. It can also show how you feel about your own body. If you're not comfortable with your orgasm phase, don't worry. There's no right or wrong way to look when you're climaxing. That wraps it up right there. That's a done deal. There's no wrong or right way when you climax. As long as you climax, as long as you're satisfied, as long as you're providing a sense of happiness to your lover, that's the only thing that's important. Not what the fuck you look like. I want to say thank you for listening to this podcast. I go overboard with the thank you. I can't help it. That's how it's raised. Shit. You know what I'm saying? I see so many men or people like, stop saying thank you. Stop saying thank you. It comes off as corny. Fuck you. I'm going to let people know I appreciate you listening to me. Because you ain't got to. You ain't got to sit here and listen to my crazy ass talking about sex, relationship, and fuck it. You could be listening to somebody else who has a more... with less cursing, less visualizing what I'm trying to say, and someone who speaks a little bit more elegant, you know. But you choose to listen to a man of a certain age talk about his experiences, other people's experiences, stuff that he's read, stuff that he's heard other people talk about telling. And that does something for me. So I have to say thank you. And I'm going to continue to say thank you. Anybody who wants me to talk about anything, please hit me up at whenhespeakserotica@gmail.com. Someone reached out to me and told me that the podcast, the last one I did, the music selection probably drowned out my delivering the content. So I chose the different selection of music what I normally did. So I guess I'm gonna go back to that one that that's been working for me, you know, because I think the music adds a different element as far as me talking. I mean, I enjoy talking without the music. I remember when I first started, I did a lot of my podcast without music, and then I found out that the music helps, and I kind of leaned on that. But now that I'm very comfortable, because I'm not going to be perfect, I'm not going to be elegant, I'm not going to say the right words, I'm going to fuck up, I'm going to fumble with words, and I think that's what makes the podcast good, in my opinion, because I'm not trying to be perfect. I'm not trying to, just give you the best. I'm gonna give you the best podcast, but I'm gonna give it to you from a more organic point of view. You know what I'm saying? It's gonna be real. It's gonna be real, and it's gonna be me being JR. So if anybody want me to talk about something, anything they, anybody got anything they want to critique me on, please reach me at whenhespeakserotica@gmail.com. Someone asked me, why you talk so deep? Are you trying to make yourself talk deep? No, that's just how I talk. You know what I'm saying? It's not like I get in the mirror and be practicing. My name is JR. Anyway, once again, man, thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting this podcast. I hope that you enjoyed. Please continue to like, listen, and share. Tell your peoples to check me out. I'm just trying to provide a little entertainment. And on that note, y'all take care. And I'll talk to y'all later. Peace.